Hello, the bonkers. It's been a while here. Hope you've been fine. And then, well, how is the weather over there? In all sincerity, I do not understand what the weather is turning to in Nigeria. Well, I hope you're staying safe too. COVID-19 is real. And well, in the past week, I've seen quite a number. In fact, our wards are full. And, you know, sometimes we have to do the inevitable. Have to turn people back to other hospitals for care because we really do not have the spaces to take them in. It is that bad. Okay, and really, if you're not wearing a mask for yourself, you should consider the other person who may not, you know, be able to handle the infection so much. And well, yes, it's about the other person's really. First about you, and then of course the other person. That's the only way we can keep the world safe and then, you know, keep ourselves safe too. So welcome to today's episode. And then if you remember my last episode, it was, you know, something about trying to clear the air around who is a doctor and who is a nurse. And the fact that a male can be a nurse and a female can be a doctor. There's really no gender to whatever professions you want to go for. Okay, so you should feel free. If as a male, what I'll just advise is that, you know, you get a really good grasp of, you know, the definitions, the things that is, I mean, things required of you as, say, a nurse or a doctor before you make your decision as much as I can. Okay, I'm actually planning to have an episode on career, something related to career. And of course, you can already imagine it's going to be around medicine. Okay, I know there's, I mean, lots of misconceptions around what you need to be a medical doctor. And yes, I'm going to talk a little bit on that. And well, I told myself that I'm not going to just do that alone, so it doesn't look like, oh, you're the only person that is always talking, right? So I'm going to get some of my colleagues to share their experiences about what they thought they needed to be a medical doctor and what they found out, you know, when they got into medical school and how it has been since they've been doctors. I look forward to that episode myself. But then there's a special thing happening this month. February 4 globally is the World Cancer Day. You know, it's a day that people are reminded of the things, I mean, the different cancers around the world, and, you know, things that the ones that are quite important for us to pay very good attention to. In recent times, there has been like a recent upsurge in the numbers and percentages of people coming down with different kinds of cancers. And well, in my previous episodes, I talked about some already, cervical cancer for females. I talked about hepatitis and how it relates to some other form of cancer. And then, okay, I talked about colon cancer. It was more like a tribute to Chala. That's the Chala. What's that name again? Yeah, the Black Panther. Yes. Well, I had to do that because, you know, that was the cause of death for him. It was a colon cancer. And I had to do that just to educate people, to let us know how we can prevent some of these things. And the good news about cancers generally is that most of the measures are common to all kind of cancers. You know, measures that can prevent cancers are generally the same. So when we talk about liver cancer, breast cancer, lung cancers, you know, all of those cancers, actually, they have some things in common that we can work around. But then today, judging by my experience through the last 2 weeks, actually, I will be talking on breast cancer. And it's just going to be more like a reminder, because I know that you likely have an idea already, but then I'm going to come from my experience as a medical doctor in the emergency department. And then, you know, I'll just share one or two things with you. This is not supposed to be a long episode. It's supposed to be short and precise. And then I really do hope that you learn something from here. But then before I go into the discussion per se, I would be off for 1 minute and then I'll be back just after this break. Welcome, debunkers. It's good to have you back. Okay, so I was trying to share my last week's, 2 weeks actually, experience with you in the emergency department. And mind you, when we're talking about cancers in the emergency department, we're talking about complicated cancers usually, because, you know, it's an emergency department. We're taking people with life-threatening complications. Okay, if it's just regular cancer diagnosis and all of that, it really does not need to happen in the emergency department. But of course, when the complications set in, most people would come in through the emergency department, and that's the reason we get to see people with cancers. So what I'm trying to say is that by the time a person with cancer is coming into the emergency department, most likely, but very, very likely, that person has complications already. And then in the last 2 weeks, I had a not very funny experience on the ward, that is in the emergency room. And then it was just after my handing over. You know, usually we work in teams and shifts in the emergency department, and while a team is leaving, another team comes in. So the team that is going would hand over to the team that is coming. So the team that is coming takes over the management of the patient already in the emergency room while the senior ones that come in during their shift. And then I noticed in a particular cubicle, because we work with cubicles actually, and I noticed that we left that cubicle, the two patients in that cubicle were diagnosed with breast cancers. And of course, with complications, the fact that there's been some form of spread to the chest already. And then there's what we call, okay, it's a long English, but then the spread to the lungs or to the chest had made them accumulate water, like fluid in the chest. Remember, the chest is what we breathe with, so it's really not a place for water. So when fluid things accumulate there, it makes breathing very difficult and it becomes a lot of work to breathe. And this is what actually brought those people in. That got me a bit, you know, concerned. And then it was even more concerning when we moved to the next cubicle, and then the next person there actually also has breast cancer. And, you know, because of my curiosity and the fact that I really needed to know what exactly was the problem, because that they came in with that kind of complication means that it was already an advanced cancer. By the time cancer had left where it was primarily to another place, it's already an advanced cancer. We call that metastasis in medicine. It's a long English meaning that, oh, the cancer cells had left their primary place, you know, where they grew up from, and then they had gone to another part of the body. At that time, that cancer is already an advanced cancer. Right. So for those three people, and you know, each of those three people, okay, mind you, two of them had complications to the chest, the fact that water had collected in their chest and was becoming more difficult to breathe. Another person, which is the third woman, came in with, you know, spread to the abdomen. It has affected the bowel and the liver. So she came in with yellowness of the eyes. So sometimes, you know, what we call yellow fever. Right, in because the funny thing is, when I engaged this woman, she said she described her yellow eyes as yellow fever. That she knows, she just noticed this yellow fever. And mind you, you can already imagine what she went to do. She started taking agbo, herbal concoctions. Okay, meanwhile, it was an advanced breast cancer. Okay, so the reason I had to talk about this today, I engaged, you know, each of them, but I spent most time with a particular lady. She's the youngest of them, and she's 35-year-old woman who, you know, came in with her husband. And then I needed to ask her, why did you stay this long? Why, what did you notice? What did you think was the problem? And then, you know, she answered me and said that the reason I had to engage her really was because I was thinking of how best can we reach out to people so that they have this knowledge. Because she made a very important point that she did not know. You know, she just said, me or more, right? That's the Yoruba form of saying, I did not know. Okay, and then, you know, it just started with feeling something in her breast, something hard in her breast. And that was 2 years before she came in. I mean, that's a pretty long time. And I believe that if she had come in at that time, you know, perhaps she had the knowledge of what was wrong with her, maybe things would have been better than what they were as at the time she came in. And then, you know, she started telling me that she thought it was kokoroomu. That's the Yoruba version of saying that I thought it was just an infection of the breast, right? So because of that, she walked up to a drugstore, got some medications that she thought could help. And then, you know, after a few weeks of seeing that, you know, nothing changed. And then, you know, about 2 weeks after, she said she noticed another lump. Something hard again, more like having a boil. Odabiewo. Yes, that's what it looks like. But then it is unnecessarily hard. Omalebiokuta. And it was not painful. right? Those are characteristics of, you know, something beyond infection. Most infections usually will come with pain. You know, the person has this pain. Sometimes, you know, the breast is red. You know, it is so painful. And most of the time, we see this in people that are breastfeeding. And that's usually because, you know, of the milk that may stay there for a while. You know, they have that engorgement and then the milk eventually gets infected. If not that, sometimes because of the, you know, baby sucking on the breast could actually leave some cracks on the nipple that may be that can, you know, be the source of infection into the breast. But for a normal, I mean, an adult woman with nothing meddling with the breast and all of that, we do not expect that infections will just come up in the breast. Just like I said, kokoromo, which is more like saying an infection of the breast, would come with pain, would come with, you know, so much inconvenience. Kokoromo, oma dunyo, oma ronyo, kokon le wa ni beta bi kokon le koko sibe. And the only way we can get to know that, okay, this is not normal, or, oh, there's something abnormal here, is that we've been checking, which is why it is important that we as adult females check our breasts. And I need to emphasize this. It is not just females that have breast cancers. Males, I mean, it's been documented over and over again that males can actually have breast cancers. So it's not about, oh, it is for females alone. No, males are supposed to also check their breasts regularly. Okay, if you find anything unusual, then please go to your doctor and have it checked. So back to females, yes, it is important that you or we check our breasts regularly. When I say regularly, it should be every month, you know, after you finish your monthly period. You know, usually towards the period of your menstruation, some people have that engorgement, you know, the breast is painful and all that. So it may not be the best time for you to start, you know, meddling or, you know, touching the breast. But once your period is over, most of all of those signs would have dropped, and then you can conveniently check. And then how do you check? You know, at this point, I really, really wish that, you know, I am doing this as a video. But I would implore you to, you know, check online and see how you can actually check your breast yourself. You necessarily do not have to visit a doctor or a nurse or anybody else. If, I mean, by the time you actually come to know how to and you do it well, and you need to know that for you to check, you actually use the surface of your palm, not the tip, but the very surface. And all you do is, like, you know, we describe it as a peeling orange version. You know, when you want to peel orange, well, in Nigeria, actually, when you want to peel orange, you start from the very top and then, you know, you go all round and round and round till you get to the very bottom, right? Okay, so usually if you want to check your breasts, first of all, you're supposed to stand, say, in front of a mirror, if you have one, and then you raise both arms up, look if there's anything unusual about the breast, right? If you do not see anything unusual, then you go ahead and then you touch with the very surface of your palm. Remember, the surface of your palm, that whitish, or do I say creamish part. Okay, so you touch with it and you touch gently. You start from the very, you can start from your nipple. Okay, once you start from the nipple, you go round from the nipple, you start moving out gradually, more like you're peeling orange, and you move round. You let your palm feel your breast all around in that way. And then what you do is that the right hand examines the left breast, the left hand examines the right breast. And no, it is not complete until you check your armpit too. That's the armpit. On both sides, you check for any funny lumps that are there. Yeah, what you're checking for in both breasts are lumps. Usually they are firm, and you know the best way to actually pick something abnormal is when you're used to normal. So if you had been checking your breast before, you already know the contours, you know where what is. So if anything funny pops up, and you know, remember, you check every month. So if anything unusual pops up within 4 weeks, it means that you'll be able to easily pick it up. And with that, you can seek help. Most of the time, early diagnosis is very important, right? And that is the information that this woman did not have. You know, she had the lump. It was there for, I mean, very long. She said she went to Alagbo. Those are people that make herbal concoctions in Yoruba land. And then she was bathing it with agbo. So, and then she did that for a while, and then she did not see any difference. They kept telling her that it will open up eventually. More like, you know, what Yoruba would say, we omatu. More like there is a collection of pus there that would eventually come out. And then, of course, it did open eventually, but at the time it opened, it was already a very advanced cancer. Okay, so once you notice anything unusual about your breast, the contour, you know, there's a wound that was not there before. In fact, we should not get to the point that there should be a wound. You know, we should pick it as early as, because by the time there's a wound on the breast, chances are the cancer had already, gone very far. Okay, so we advocate that it should be picked early so that, you know, we can get curative measures, and then this can be, it can be nipped in the bud. And I really hope that this will be able to help someone, you know, your neighbor, yourself, you know, you can get help with this from what I'm just saying. And then I need to also sound this note, please. If at all you have a relative, and we call them first degree relatives, say your mom, your sister, who has been previously diagnosed with breast cancer, I would say that you need to take extra caution. You have to check extra. You need to look very closely, more than anybody else will. Okay, and that is because there's actually that familial relationship, the fact that it may run in families, right? But then the thing is, once you pick it up early, you know you can help yourself and the people around you. And I really do hope that this helps a lot. I would want to stop here, and this really is about prevention. First of all, you know, for every form of cancer, it's okay. I mean, it's helpful to take lots of vegetables, lots of fruits, lots of water. You rest well, you reduce your stress as much as possible. Well, for breast cancer, breastfeeding has been shown to be protective, right? So as much as you can, breastfeed. And well, if you choose not to, it's still a choice, but then we still say that it's okay to breastfeed more, so everybody's benefiting, right? So the baby benefits, and you also, you know, get your benefit as the mother. You bond better with your child. It also helps to prevent breast cancer, remember, amongst other things. So this is how much I've brought today. I really do not want this to be very long, and I really do hope that you've been able to pick something. As for my experience in the emergency department or in the emergency room, I'll keep sharing them with you. And as much as I can, I'll make it quite short, precise, and then let you know the lessons that I'd like you to pick from it. If there's anything else you'd like me to talk about, feel free to get across to me. I'll drop my email in the description of today's episode, and you can be sure to reach out to me. I wish you a very wonderful year 2021. And mind you, stay safe. Stay safe. COVID-19 is still very much around, and we need to care for ourselves as much as we take care of people around us. Have a very wonderful week. Bye.